out of the darkness of our past, out of the visions of our childhood, comes the one fear we thought we left behind, the one nightmare we hoped had gone away. But the evil we once invited in has found its way back home.
Hey, motherfuckers, you listen to Three Ring Radio, so fuck you.
Fuck you, man.
Fuck you!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
Okay, fuck you. How's that?
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you! God!
Hey, fuck you, man!
Fuck you!
Fuck you! Fuck you!
Well, fuck you.
Fuck off, you donkey-raping shit-eater.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy. So, what I make you? Good? You're not good. You just know how to hide. How to lie. Me, I don't have that problem. Me, I always tell the truth. Even when I lie. The last time you're gonna see a bad guy like this again, let me tell you.
You're a member of the Church of Satan.
Yes, sir.
And he says he's written some books. What are the books?
In the Trench Coat Diaries. I got a lot of exclusive information from the kids that are in the Trench Coat Mafia.
I'm like a young guy. How old are you?
28.
Didn't you also write a cookbook with an 80-year-old serial killer?
Yes, yes.
Fascinating talking to you. Here's the man who has the Ed Gein headstone.
Right on. Hey, man, thanks for all the laughs.
Hey, thank you.
Take it easy.
All right, bye.
All right. That was me on Howard Stern. That was little old me on Howard Stern. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Three Ring Radio, the show where you never know when it's going to go away. Just one day you'll wake up and I'll be gone. More than likely I'll be gone because I'm overweight and I'm lazy and I really should, eat better. I'm all into the food conspiracies. And I just don't take care of myself. I don't know. You know, it's too bad I didn't start younger, that's for sure. And I had at one time broken my habits, my bad habits, and started eating better. Anyway, yes, you're here for Three Ring Radio this week. It's all ghetto boys, as in the gangster rappers, the Ghetto Boys. At an early age, I did an interview with the Ghetto Boys. And I'm going to be playing that for you here today. This is a really old interview. Boy, I have to say, 21, 30. I was about 21 years old when I did this. So that's about 14 years ago. I was told by the PR company, by Rap-A-Lot Records, I was told that I was the first white person that the Ghetto Boys were going to sit down with in a room personally. Sitting with me. And so I went backstage at this concert in Rockford, Illinois, home of Cheap Trick. So that was cool driving out there. I had been dating. I think I was living with a girl at the time, and white girl. I'm a white guy, in case you just don't sound white enough for you. And we went to this all black concert. I mean, it was solid black. No, we were the only white people within 10 miles of this place. So let me tell you. So that alone was crazy. But then to sit in the room with the Ghetto Boys, this is Bushwick Bill. If you don't know who the Ghetto Boys are, look them up online. They were the first gangster rappers. Numero uno. They also were taken under the wing of Rick Rubin from Def America at the time. And their CD, the one that he put out, was so hardcore, pressing plants refused to press it. So the Ghetto Boys were, I was attracted to them like fly a moth to a flame, you know, being a my fetish in politics is the censorship, anti-censorship type of stuff. So I was really attracted right away to the Ghetto Boys music and stuff. And it was really obscene stuff, really cool. I really, really dug it. And so I got to interview him. And, these interviews were made for print, so audio-wise, they're really shitty. But then, again, you got to remember, this was like 15 years ago, so cut me a little slack for being young and dumb. You know, so I asked some silly questions, but I, you know, whatever, I was trying, and at least I'm playing them here. I should be burning them, but I'm going to let you hear them in their entirety. And again, they don't sound the greatest, but there's very few recordings from that day around. I mean, the Ghetto Boys, it just didn't, you know, you're not going to hear a lot of stuff from that day. So listen up. We talk white people. We talk ghettos. We talk Thanksgiving. And this is, enjoy. This is my interview with the Ghetto Boys from like 15 years ago. I'm Shane, 3ringradio.com. Check it out. I love when you come to my website and check me out.
And we must know what politics is supposed to produce. We must know what part politics play in our lives. And until we become politically mature, we will always be misled, led astray, or deceived, or maneuvered into supporting someone politically who doesn't have the good of our community at heart.
Love is me. Love is us. Love is free. Africa's funky. It's gone real funky.
And because these Negroes, who have been misled, misguided, are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a rundown community.
That shows no affection. They want to ban us on Capitol Hill. Cause it's die, motherfuckers, die, motherfuckers.
All along it was a ghetto, nothing but the ghetto. Taking short steps, one foot at a time, and kept my head low. And never let go, cause if I let go, then I'd be spineless. I'm going insane.
I think my mind just goes out of control and touch on subjects motherfuckers read about. I touch on the shit that they be leaving out. I've seen this motherfucker's non smoking. I've seen the same nigga with the non dying with his eyes open. And simply what this means is, he didn't know that every dog had his day until he seen his. I bet you motherfuckers will too, because it's time, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal, fool. Time, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal, fool.
Steal.
Time, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal, fool. Time, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal, fool.
Something in the water, man. It's got me in the water.
Oh, fuck. Chuck's on a killing spree again. We're guillotined for men. I walk around town with a frown on my face. Fuck the whole world. Gonna catch a murder case.
The murder rate may increase if you're caught up in the world while it's dying. I guarantee you fright. Cause I'm on the verge of knocking motherfuckers out for no reason. Once I get down, there'll be no breathing. It seems when motherfuckers wanna calm down, put his palm down. Seems like I still lay the law down. Now it's all about what you wanna do. I'm asking you. Stuck to face, I break your ass in two. Fast to shoot. Rather swim in some fucking hot tar. Before you fuck with Willie D, cause what I got for. Your ass will make you shit your meal. Cause it's die, motherfuckers, die, motherfuckers. Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal, fool. How many niggas brought their eyes tonight?
Tell.
How many niggas wanna ride tonight?
I do.
Pick out our victims when the time is right. We get their ass up off the corner, cause they die tonight. For sure. Niggas be all up in my mug. But it's a different story when the motherfuckers coughing up blood.
Look him in his eyes, cause he has
I put another cap in his ass and he died. Time and
five. Niggas be shooting the gift like they for real. But when it jumps, they ain't got no murder skills. So Bill just shuts them down. Watch them fall and cut their ass head to toe, jaw to jaw.
Draw down, I bet your bitch ass holler. Cause I'ma put a hole in your head, the size of a half a dollar.
Get your cap. This is
time, motherfucker, time, motherfucker. Time, motherfucker, time, motherfucker, steal, fool. Time, motherfucker, time, motherfucker, steal, fool. Time, motherfucker, time, motherfucker, steal, fool. Time, motherfucker, time, motherfucker, steal, fool.
On the motherfucking one, we getting shit done, you know what I'm saying? Ghetto Boys, 1996, the year 2000 and forever. And the shit don't stop until I say it's over, you motherfucker. Okay? This is Ghetto Boys for life.
We're going to forget religion. If we bring up religion, we'll be in an argument. And the best way to keep away from arguments and differences, as I said earlier, put your religion at home, in the closet. Keep it between you and your God. Because if it hasn't done anything more for you than it has, you need to forget it anyway. whether you are a Christian or a Muslim or a nationalist.
I bet you never thought you'd hear me playing some Malcolm X and Ghetto Boys. For any of those who know me or think they know me, you might be surprised. But I'm down with the Ghetto Boys, okay? I was saying earlier, I went and interviewed them about 15 years ago. Not only that, but I had corresponded with Bushwick Bill for a little bit. I had sent him the Dahmer police report originally, and he had written a song. It's on I forget what release it's on. It's on one of them. It's about Dahmer. He quotes the police report. At the end, he says it's from the police report. And that's from my police report, okay? Anyway, going to this Ghetto Boys concert, coming up, I'm playing an interview from 15 years ago that I did with the Ghetto Boys, Bushwick Bill, Willie D., and Scarface. I had them all three in one room at one time, personally interviewing them in an all-black neighborhood at an all-black show. And I brought a date with me, a white girl. So walking into this room, you know, waiting for the Ghetto Boys, I was nervous to say the least. And very intimidated, these, you know, big old black dudes hovering over them. Me and my date, you know, it's like from Animal House, you mind if we dance with your date? So it's sort of funny and very intimidating, you know. The girl, you know, I could feel the girl's palms getting sweaty. I don't know. I guess I realized she was probably excited by the thought of these big men hovering over her. And, you know, the whole wolf pack mentality came in and I felt really insignificant. So that was one feeling I remember going through. Other than that, it was intimidating to try to do an interview. It's very strange process to do an interview, especially in person, in a room full of people like that, because it's not necessarily on a fair level. It's almost like you have to be submissive in a pack of people when you're attacking someone or trying to pull some truth out of them when you're doing the interview. And so it was hard to do, but I got through it and I was very proud of myself, and it made it into my zine, Naked Aggression, which is a zine I did at the time. And I guess, how do I know about the Ghetto Boys? Well, I ran away early in my life, and hanging out on the streets, there's no room for racism or any kind of stuff like that. So I remember teaming up with this black kid, Joey. I'd like to give you his last name, but anyway. And he had four brothers. The big success story of the family was this doorman. He worked as a doorman, and he had like a cool condominium on Lakeshore Drive. So that's Lakeshore Drive's overlooking the lake in Chicago, overlooking the Chicago beach. So it's pretty neat. And we used to go visit him. Anyway, this guy, I used to scalp tickets back then. And I had gotten him some really sweet tickets to see Tina Turner. And this was right before she hit big with her private dancer stuff. She was playing a club of 200 people, believe it or not. Anyway, and he asked for Ghetto Boy tickets. And I found out who the Ghetto Boys were. They were playing at a bar at the time, and they had just signed on to Rick Rubin's record label. And I really enjoyed the whole thing. And I remember being into rap music. And I remember, funny thing, I had a Public Enemy shirt. You know, I was wearing a Public Enemy shirt for a while. And then to find out, you know, what Public Enemy, that target that was on my chest, I found out that target was really for me. At least I felt it was. I was growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, 15, 14, had run away from home a couple times, very, very much not content with the suburbs. And it was funny, when I lived in the suburbs, I really had a thirst for rap music, or urban music as they call it. Now, when I eventually moved out of the suburbs and into the city, I quit listening to rap music altogether because it really seemed silly for me to drive into this. I live in usually impoverished or semi-impoverished areas. You know, it's not high-end, upper crust, that's for sure. And so it seems silly for me to pull into a neighborhood where there's a gang running things and have my ghetto boys on, you know, jamming it out the window. You know, that sort of seems silly to me. Anyway, like I said, I'm going to play this interview from 15 years ago, me and the ghetto boys. Wasn't too big of a deal. It was a big deal then, but it's even a bigger deal now that I've survived to see the history of it all. And the ghetto boys are actually a big piece of rap history, and they really influenced a lot of what you hear today. So it was really cool to be in, you know, back then and doing stuff, you know, at a young age. And so this is a real cool interview, and I'm very proud of it, even though I'm silly and I sound like a fucking dumbass. But what's different now than then, right? Anyway, I hope you enjoy this. 3RingRadio.com. And remember, if you only caught half of this, you can always buy each and every episode I sell on CD. So each and every hour. And I think I'm up to like 40 hours now. So you can get all 40 hours on CD. That's right. And if you can do that, if you can sit through 40 hours of this, I myself will come to your house and barbecue for you. I'll be in the backyard grilling you up some steaks. Wherever you are, Indonesia, I'm there. You buy 40 hours of 3-Ring Radio and mark your calendar down, because sometime in the calendar year, I will be visiting, and I'll be cooking you a meal, okay? I'm a good cook. All right. I'm going to play some of the interview, some more Malcolm X. I hope you like this speech. I really dug this speech. I would almost want to play the whole speech for you instead of me talking, rambling on. But I'm probably not going to. But Malcolm X, listen up for Malcolm X. Listen up for my interview from 15 years ago, and just plain keep listening.
Hey, man, so, I don't know where you start. What do you guys listen to?
Man, I start with easy stuff first.
Okay, easy stuff. What kind of music? Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
No, Umaguma?
What?
Really?
Go ahead.
Umaguma, really?
Lenny
Kravitz. Pink Floyd, Lenny Kravitz, Chicago. Led Zeppelin. Hey. We don't listen to rap at all, you know. Bill DeVoe.
I don't listen to heavy metal anymore either. So
I mean, Iron Maiden. I mean, let's go back to Man of War, Metallica, Judas Priest. You know,
yeah, man.
For real. What?
Right. Hey, John.
What do you think of white people?
What I think of white people?
Huh.
Hey, that's our teacher. It's just
it's good. Huh? They
just man, don't forget online.
No, man, look out. Did you guys all graduate?
Yngwie Malmsteen.
I hate him. I like
Yngwie Malmsteen.
All of you guys? That's great. What do you think of the public schools? Public school system. It's hard to graduate, isn't it?
Our public school system, go ahead. I think the public schools is the best type of schools for any type of any kid, period. Because at public schools, you get a lot of mixed emotions. You don't get kids that are isolated from the real world at public schools. You know what I'm saying? I mean, your peers, I mean, you can learn from your peers about drugs, porn, sex, you know what I'm saying? Public schools, well, and other schools, private schools, kids will be a little bit more healthy to talk about things of that nature, because their parents try to tell them from the real world, you know, reality. And it's like when they get out in the public, when they get out in the real world, you know, they get tough real quick. You know, they get robbed, they get raped, they get, you know, they easily subject to all the wrongs of the world, you know what I'm saying? Because they've been shaded from reality for so long, right? Whether if you're in public school, if you're in a public school and you're in a public environment, group of kids from all walks of life attend one school and come together, then you get a lot of mixed views, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you learn about what's really going on.
You know what I was going to say, mostly in private schools, you got kids that's taught, they're all taught to think the same way, you know? When you go to private school, you go in there, it's learn one thing. That's what they're going to teach you. Whatever in life, they're teaching all the kids the same thing, really. You're not getting no bunch of aspects like you were in the private school.
Me, personally, Scarface, I got two kids, and I got one on the way. I'm not going to keep my kids, you know, closed up in a closet with a blindfold on with the lights out, you know. If they say, Daddy, I want to see this, I'm going to let my kids see this, you know. I'm going to send my kids to public schools because I don't want my kids to walk through life with their eyes closed, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're staring at the world with your eyes closed, then what is the picture that my kids have painted of the real world if I paint them a picture and close their eyes and blindfold, you know what I'm saying?
Right, it's sort of like
Man, we need to pause this and go to another room when we close the door, man.
Yeah. I wanna get this real quick. People, you know, that's sort of like the same way people take your lyrics. They don't get the positive message out of them because you're all fuck. You know, they just see that they just turn a fuck word, and right away they don't hear the positive message you guys are trying to portray most of some of your songs.
Right. The world is fuck you. You know? Right. Because if you ain't Republican and you ain't paid, then fuck you. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't motherfucking... If you ain't in the motherfucking office, if you ain't in the caliber, the grading of the motherfuckers, the big motherfuckers like Bush and the people that he's associated with, then fuck you, you know what I'm saying? We, the minority, are fucked. So fuck them. They fucking us, so fuck you, you know what I'm saying?
The way I see it is like this. The things that people perceive is the things that have been taught to them, so that's what they believe. So you could be dressed up in a brand new suit, but if there's a threat out of line, I'll notice that more than I'll notice the fact that the suit is brand new. In other words, I'll notice the fact that it's a black guy from out of the ghetto that's making all the money when I went to Harvard, Oxford, and all that good shit to learn bureaucratic bullshit that amounts to nothing. But when it's all said and done, you know what I'm saying? The wise is going to be the victorious one, because a fool and his money will always depart. And a person's money is also his wisdom. That's why it's not good to cast your pearls before swines. So I believe I've said too much.
Stop it. Get back in your corner.
Man, jeez, guys.
All of us catch hell from the same enemy. We're all in the same bag, in the same boat. We suffer political oppression, economic exploitation, and social degradation. All of them from the same enemy. The government has failed us. You can't deny that. Anytime you live in the 20th century, 1964, and you walking around here singing, "We Shall Overcome," the government has failed us. This is part of what's wrong with you. You do too much singing. Today it's time to stop singing and start swinging.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room staring at candles. When that shit is on, let me drop some shit like this here. At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies being burned. Four walls just staring at a nigga. I'm paranoid sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right, but I ain't going out without a fight.
see every time my eyes close. I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose. It's somebody watching the act, but I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see him when I'm deep in the covers. When I awake, I don't see the motherfucker. He owns a black hat like I own, a black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say take a chill, B, but fuck that shit. There's a nigga trying to kill me. I'm popping in the clip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds got me peeping out my window, investigating a joint for traps, checking my telephone for text. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's fucked up when your mind's playing tricks on ya. I make big money, I drive big cars, everybody know me. It's like I'm a movie star, but late at night, something ain't right. I feel I'm being tailed by the same sucker's headlights. Is it that fool that I ran off the block? Or is it that nigga last week that I shot? Or is it the one I beat for $5,000? Thought he had cane, but it was gold, not a flower. Reached under my seat, grab my papa for the suckers. Ain't no use in the line, I was scared of a motherfucker. Put the left in the Popeyes and better die quick. If it's going down, let's get this shit over with. Here they come, just like I figured. I got my hand on the motherfucking trigger. When I saw him, make your ass start giggling. Three blind, crippling, crazy senior citizens. I live by the sword. I take my boys everywhere I go because I'm paranoid. I keep looking over my shoulder and peeping around corners. My mind is playing tricks on me. Day by day it's more impossible to cope. I feel like I'm the one that's doing dope. Can't keep a steady hand because I'm nervous. Every Sunday morning I'm in service, praying for forgiveness and trying to find an exit out the business. I know the Lord is looking at me, but yet and still it's hard for me to feel happy. I often drift when I drive, having fatal thoughts of suicide. Bang and get it over with, and then I'm worry free, but that's bullshit. I got a little boy to look after, and if I die, then my child will be a bastard. I had a woman down with me, but to me it seemed like she was down to get me. She helped me out in this shit, but to me she was just another bitch. Now she's back with her mother. Now I'm realizing that I love her. Now I'm feeling lonely. My mind is playing tricks on me.
This year, Halloween fell on a weekend. Me and Ghetto Boys are trick-or-treating, robbing little kids for bags, till an old man got behind our ass. So we speeded up the pace, took a look back, and he was right before our face. He'd be in for a squabble, no doubt, so I swung and hit the nigga in his mouth. He was going down, we figured, but this wasn't no ordinary nigga. He stood about 6 or 7 feet. Now that's the nigga I be seeing in my sleep. So we triple teamed on him, dropping them motherfucking bees on him. The more I swung, the more blood flew. Then he disappeared, and my boys disappeared too. Then I felt just like a fiend. It wasn't even close to Halloween. It was dark as fuck on the streets. My hands were all bloody from punching on the concrete. Goddamn, homie. My mind is playing tricks on me.
So this government has failed us. The government itself has failed us. And the white liberals who have been posing as our friends have failed us. And once we see that all these other sources to which we've turned have failed, we stop turning to them and turn to ourselves. We need a self-help program. A do-it-yourself philosophy. A do-it-right-now philosophy. It's already too late philosophy. This is what you and I need to get with. And the only way we're going to solve our problem is with a self-help program. Before we can get a self-help program started, we have to have a self-help philosophy.
Yeah, Malcolm X on Three Ring Radio. And my 15-year-old interview with the Ghetto Boys. Yeah, me. In a room, me against Willie D, Scarface, and Bushwick Bill of the Ghetto Boys. That's right. Check out Three Ring Radio to see who would dare face off with the Ghetto Boys. Join the Yahoo News group. And, you know, I don't know if I told you this ever. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I lived with a black family for about 8 months. Around the same time, maybe a little after the Ghetto Boys. Well, yeah, I guess a little before the Ghetto Boys interview. Definitely before, maybe 4 or 5 years before. I'd run away, and I think I told you about this. Met a guy named Joe, lived with his family, lived in the basement, and we lived in Dixmoor, so there was no white people there. And walking into the neighborhood, I remember seeing this elderly woman, a black woman, sitting on her porch, and she looked like the Aunt Jemima, black and old, friendly, rocking in a chair. And I'm walking by, and she said something like, "Get out of this neighborhood, Whitey," or "Go back home, Whitey, go back," you know, said something rude, really derogatory. And that was the start of me living with a black family. That, and I was also the catch of the neighborhood as far as girls went, because black guys, well, they don't eat pussy, and us white guys do. So all the black girls there wanted to hook up with me, especially after they had a couple of 40 ouncers. They'd be knocking on the door asking if I could come over and help them out with some sort of chore or what have you. What's the other memory of it I have of living with a black family? Oh, I remember staying in their basement and looking, and it looks like the wall was moving. And I turned on the light, and it was a wall full of cockroaches moving. It was crazy. And then, like, a couple days later, I remember their sink was full of cockroaches, like they all drowned in the leftover water. It was really fucked up. And then, yeah, because it was a fucked up black neighborhood. Oh, and then the other thing I remember is the wild packs of dogs. Like at night, there'd be like fucking 10 dogs roaming the alleys looking for food, and they'd chase your ass. And let me tell you, you know, my fucking fat ass, I was over the fences in a second running from these dogs. I freaked out. I couldn't believe it. Packs of dogs chasing me down the alleys. An Aunt Jemima looking black lady telling me to get the fuck out of there. We were shot at once by a carload of gangbangers. They were all flipping up gang signs and shit, and we had to run, and they were shooting at us. So it was crazy. That was all. That's what I remember from living there. Oh, I also remember it was by the mall used in the Blues Brothers, where they drove their car. Hey, you hear the train? Beautiful downtown Hammond, Indiana. There we go. Yeah, but it was by the mall where the Blues Brothers filmed, where they drove through and everything, and we got to break it. You know, it was all closed down. And we broke in there, and like some old wood used to, you know, patch up a window or what have you. And we pulled it off and walked in there, and we had flashlights. And you can see, because right after, I guess, where they filmed the Blues Brothers, it was a closed-down mall. So they just sealed it up again. So you could still see tire tracks where they did all their stunts, broken glass. It was pretty crazy. And then we ran into people that were, like, living there. And that was nuts, because then you'd, like, shine a light, and you'd see someone, like, sitting in a corner somewhere nodding off on drugs or whatever. So it was a fucked-up neighborhood. You know, the one thing you miss being in a white neighborhood. Black girls, they have these bubble butts, man. Fucking nice, strong bubble asses. Really nice. I like a black woman's ass. That's one thing they definitely have. That's a primo. And soul food. I really enjoyed rib tips and collard greens and mac and cheese. You know, government cheese, shit like that was cool. 40-ouncers and dime bags. Those are the good things from living with the black family. And, well, I talked about the bad things. Not too many. Anyway, I'm going to play the rest of my Ghetto Boy interview. It's more Malcolm X. This is the black episode of Three Ring Radio. And as some of the heaviest stuff that you'll hear on Three Ring Radio, this Malcolm X speech. I wish I could have played the whole speech, but I wanted to play my interview with the Ghetto Boys. Fuck the Malcolm X speech. But if you ever find it on download, he's one of the most powerful speakers. I mean, if you like Hitler, you're going to love Malcolm X, okay? Check it out, threeringradio.com.
It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. That right there castrates you. Right there it brings you down. What goes with it? What, think of the image of someone sitting. An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up.
Man, geez, you guys. I've been reading an interview somewhere. I don't know where I read a lot of them, but you guys were talking about making some more. KRS was putting you down some bullshit, and you guys said that he started out with a dirty song.
He can't come over here. He's on pressure.
What? I was hearing some stuff like that. KRS-One was putting you guys down for doing, you know, what he thinks is all dirty songs. And you guys were talking, or I heard you in an interview saying that you want to do a more positive album. Not like you don't now.
No, I said all our albums were positive. It's just that people tend to look for the things, like I said. If you have, like right now, if I was to just pay attention to the fact that you have long hair, And forget about the knowledge that you have to be doing what you're doing, that means I'm looking at you at face value. I'm not getting no deeper than that. So that's why I said that all they do is they get stuck on the F's and the M's, and they don't look at the subject matter. You understand? It's like when you order steak, whether it's medium rare or well done, you're gonna cut off the fat, take out the T-bone or whatever it is, and get to the meat of the subject. You know what I'm saying? When you sit down and you're ready to dine, you're ready to eat. Eating is a part of digesting. Your digestive system helps strengthen your body because it sends the food where it needs to be. We're just one molecule in the world of nucleus. You know what I'm saying? And we're still adding. We're not taking nothing away from no one. We're adding more knowledge to their life. Because the things that they overlook and call simplex, we let them know that it's complex. To people who can't see why you would be in a big house by yourself with 100 rooms and there's people starving. We're going to let you know what the people starving are thinking. I don't care how much money I make, or if I never make money, I'll always be hungry because I have a hunger and a thirst and a quest for knowledge.
By KRS-One, you know, he ain't that old great black educator, non-violent motherfucker that he portray on his songs. And when he had when he doing his albums and shit, because when he on stage, he makes it a point every time when he doing a show to say, y'all let these motherfuckers come in and call y'all bitches and hoes and all this here, and then he turned right back around and say, if you a bad motherfucker, step on this stage, and he goes on to talk about how he'll whoop a motherfucker's ass. But he's the main motherfucker that engineered the nonviolent movement, fuck KRS in his ass. Willie D said that. Yeah, and he ain't that motherfucker, because he talk about all this. I don't have to cuss, I don't call women bitches and hoes, but then he had this motherfucking song called The Pussy Is Free.
Then he had the song called Criminal Minded.
9mm go bang, and Skylar Rock is a super hoe and talks about how he uses women. And just go from one woman to woman to woman to woman, and you know, and it's like a big old masculine ego trip, you know what I'm saying, that he goes on.
In other words, he has an album called Heal, right?
Yeah.
Healing human beings through education, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but he's steadily cutting the wound open, like Willie says, the wound is already open. He's not even cutting it open, but he's steadily pouring salt in it. Then he's going to try to mend it up and then pour some more salt in it. Well, we're just going to give you the raw, pure, uncut. When you're out there on the boat in the sea, there's salt water. You got to take the bitter with the sweet. That's what the Ghetto Boys give you.
So, hey, do you attribute your success to your quest? You know, you said before you have a thirst and a hunger for knowledge and everything. Is that part of your hunger, you know, what made you guys?
That's right. That's what I consider. That's what I contribute all of our success to. I learned a lot from Uncle Willie over there. I learned a lot from Mr. Starface right here. I learned a lot from Ernest Prince right there. You know, I learned a lot from DJ Domination.
What is Ernest?
What he is, he's the record company's
founder.
Because before the record company was, it was swinging his big nuts. In other words,
swimming in the
father and the son. And the son, which one of these guys made you guys finish up school?
If he wouldn't have handed down the wisdom and knowledge that was bestowed to him to his son, his son wouldn't have had the same profound wisdom to realize that we all are three separate personalities, but we each have our own wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of what we perceive life to be. So all it is that we all come together to let everyone know how we think and feel. We're still separate individuals. Willie D is the gangster love. This is Mr. Scarface. I'm Bushwick Bill. See, Willie D will always let you know what Willie D feels. Scarface always lets you know what's going on around him. But see, a part of saying what you feel is knowing what's going on around you. A part of telling you what's going on around you is knowing what you feel. And me, the point I'm trying to make is this. All three of our collective minds, it's like a sponge coming together. We're absorbing what is around us. You know what I'm saying? And we realize that we're living in the bowels of society. So it's time for the bowels to move. We're bringing the enema to the situation. And if you call it shit, you do it daily. You know what I'm saying? It's a part of your bodily function. If you don't shit, that and if you can't shoot the shit sometimes, then you're constipated. You know what I'm saying? Cold full of shit. See?
We the Ghetto Boys, we don't have any.
You know, because they say y'all ready to breathe? Yeah. We develop one more thing like that. Together as the Ghetto Boys, we don't even hang it, right?
Yeah.
Because
ain't nobody out there, man.
If we hung around each other for too long, you know, we act like each other. We think like each other. We feel like each other. So that's what makes the Ghetto Boys, that's what parts the Ghetto Boys from the rest of the modern day rap groups that you hear, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. None of us don't even go over each other's house.
Because it's different lifestyles.
Right, right.
He got his friends, Will got his friends, Space got his friends, I got my friends. But what happens is this, we all learn from the people that we're around what's happening, what's going on, so we're still a part of the things that we were a part of before we came together as the Ghetto Boys. We haven't forgot the ones we went to school with, the ones we grew up with, the ones that was there for us when we didn't have it. That's who we still hang with, know what I'm saying?
Willie is the laid back type, you know, you go to his house is flush. Scarface, I'm the laid back type. You go to my house, but my house ain't plush. My house is the shit that I want in my house, you know what I'm saying?
You go to Phil's house, Phil got all the nifty little gadgets.
Yeah, I'm a gadget guy.
So am I, man. I love little gadgets, man. Fuck, I mean, anything that fucking...
Everything, yeah. Everything.
Lava lamps, fucking...
Even my radio, I got a remote control radio.
I just put it on, man. I got a CD player, man. Yeah. Oh, a little boombox.
Yeah, boombox, right.
You go to his house, man, and he can just walk in the house and lights come on. You know, he's a nifty motherfucker.
Yeah, I got all that shit clap on, fucking...
Yeah, yeah,
Whistler. Hey, fuck.
That's what makes us different, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Man, to sum it all up, man, the Ghetto Boys is the shit. And we ain't falling short, man, because we got money and the power. We got the minds of the lunatics. We all born killers, man. Body snatches like a motherfucker, so fuck the KKK and everything else they push. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Duke, what about David Duke?
Oh, yeah, what's that? Well, yeah. I didn't even think of that question.
Put it this way. It's like this. Baby Duke being able to run for office lets us know that America is a free country for bigots and racists.
It's a free country,
right? They want to call us sexist, right? But there's women out there wanting to be men. There's men out there wanting to be women. But yet still a profound person as him. Because he is awesome. He's incredible. A motherfucker could come out and say, fuck niggas. You know what I'm saying? He don't give two fucks about anybody that is not pure white. You know what I'm saying? He believes that if a black person mates with a white person, it's like that whole person's body has been defiled. Some detestable thing has entered it. Somebody with a sick mind like that could actually get on TV and run for office. And they'll actually let him do it. And get as far as he did. But let Willie D or Scarface or Bushwick Bill or DJ Domination, anybody else associated with Rap-A-Lot, talk about we want to run for office. First of all, they will try to look up anything we did. If I stole the gum from a store, oh, he had theft when he was the age of 9. They didn't even research his background at all. Just said he was a KKK, and that was all they had to say about him. Before we know, he could have lynched somebody in my family.
He's been linked to that shit, though.
You know what I'm saying?
He has been linked. What?
He skipped school.
He didn't get graduate?
No, I'm just saying. They don't
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They came on us.
I know. And that's what really trips me out because...
They turned in our families and shit.
Yeah. But if you look at Davy Duke, it's like, this is what the future holds for us.
America is just as much a colonial power as France ever was. In fact, America is more so a colonial power than they, because she's a hypocritical colonial power behind it. What is 20th, what do you call second-class citizenship? Why, that's colonization. Second-class citizenship is nothing but 20th century slavery. How are you going to tell me you're a second-class citizen? They don't have second-class citizenship in any other government on this earth. They just have slaves and people who are free. Well, this country is a hypocrite. They try and make you think they set you free by calling you a second-class citizen. No, you're nothing but a 20th century slave. Just as it took nationalism.
Bushwick Bill?
Hello, this is Bushwick. Motherfucking Bill.
Yes, sir. I'm calling to inform you that you've been drafted into the United States military.
United States wants me for what?
Excuse me, sir. Bushwick.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
You need to contact your nearest recruiting office immediately, please.
I see you're not hip to what's happening. I don't give a fuck about you and all that bullshit you're stressing. Fuck a war. To explain, let me kick it to you a little something like this. Motherfucker war, that's how I feel. Send a nigga to the desert to get killed. Cause two suckers can't agree on something. Thousand motherfuckers died for nothing. You can't pay me to join an army camp or any other motherfucking military branch of this United goddamn States of that bitch America. Be a soldier at war. They put niggas on the front line, but when it comes to getting ahead, they put us way behind. I ain't getting my leg shot off while I put your ass on TV playing golf. But when it comes to my house with that drive shit, I'm
I'ma shoot your monkey ass, bitch. A nigga down for a bro, but ain't fighting behind no goddamn oil. Against motherfuckers, I don't know. Yo, Bush, I ain't your damn hoe. The enemy's right here, G. Them foreigners, they never did shit to me. All of those wasted lives, and only one or two get recognized. But what good is a medal when you're dead? Tell Uncle Sam I said.
I ain't going to war for a shit-talking president.
Fuck, fuck, fuck a war.
They see the coast is clear and they start pursuing. And that's when that booby tried spring. Boom, blow a motherfucker to smithereens. They send a sucker to your folks looking stupid. Tell them you died in the line of duty. Or your ass is missing in action, bro. Trying to be a damn hero. They bring your folks that duffel back. But only shit they wanna see is that doggy tag. Hoping that the worry will cease. And your ass will still be in one damn piece. But my mom ain't gotta worry about that then. Cause I ain't dying in the middle of nowhere. A body in a draw, man, motherfucker war.
I ain't gonna walk for a shit talking president.
Fuck, fuck, fuck a war.
I ain't gonna walk for a shit talking president.
Fuck, fuck, fuck a war.
Y'all lucky I ain't the president, cause I'll put the fucking button, get it over with. Fuck all that waiting and procrastinating, and all that goddamn negotiating. Flying back and forth overseas, and having lunch and brunch with the motherfucking enemy. I'll lay one Miss Lady Rack. Cause I'm tired of paying these high-ass gas prices. Only the rich benefit. It'd be a cold day in hell before I enlist. To eat shit out of can like a worm. And every day wear the same fucking uniform. Start breaking on my funky-ass feet. Skin curly cause I ain't took baths in weeks. Not knowing if I'm coming home or not. And if I do, I'd probably be shell-shocked. I couldn't get a job, just a free burial. You know how Uncle Sam treated veterans. Absolutely no respect. Get a plate in your head, lose a leg, you might get a check. Or a
why does it look like it might be the year of the ballot or the bullet? Because Negroes have listened to the trickery and the lies and the false promises of the white man now for too long. And they're fed up. They've become disenchanted. They've become disillusioned. They've become dissatisfied. And all of this has built up frustrations in the black community that makes the black community throughout America today more explosive than all of the atomic bombs the Russians can ever invent. Whenever you got a racial powder keg sitting in your lap, you're in more trouble than if you had an atomic powder keg sitting in your lap. When a racial powder keg goes off, it doesn't care who it knocks out the way. Understand this, it's dangerous. And in 1964, this seems to be the year. Because what can the white man use now to fool us? After he put down that march on Washington, and you see all through that now, he tricked you, had you marching down to Washington. Yes, had you marching back and forth between the feet of a dead man named Lincoln and another dead man named George Washington, singing, "We Shall Overcome." He made a chump out of you. He made a fool out of you. He made you think you were going somewhere and you end up going nowhere but between Lincoln and Washington. So today our people are disillusioned. They've become disenchanted. They've become dissatisfied. And in their frustrations they want action.